It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tis the season for graduations. Perhaps you've honored a graduate in your life in the past few days or be stopping by a graduation party or two this weekend. This hour, we want to talk about the cost of higher education and the fact that the majority of Iowa graduates, these are students who've been getting a bachelor's degree, are in debt when they receive their degree after 4 years. And it's not a small sum. The average Iowa graduate receiving a bachelor's degree owes nearly $30,000 in loans. So this hour, we want to explore how the most recent crop of graduates rack up so much debt and how they're coping with college debt as they move into the workforce. Later in the program, by the way, we'll explore why more students are studying abroad, how this impacts college debt, and the implications studying abroad can have for a student and for our economy. But first, the Iowa Center for Public Affairs Journalism, iowawatch.org, has been examining college students who, so to speak, live in the now while in college, and then they face the prospects of paying huge amounts of debt. Some of them don't even have any job prospects when they are burdened with this debt. Lyle Muller is with us, Executive Director at the Iowa Center for Public Affairs Journalism, iowawatch.org, a nonprofit online news organization that collaborates with Iowa newsrooms to produce explanatory and investigative reporting. Lyle Muller, welcome back to our program.
It's nice to be here, Ben.
Tell us a little bit more about this project, why you took on this as a focus.
Each time this year, news media take a look at college debt and also job prospects for college graduates. And the reason is obvious, because it's the graduation season. What we wanted to do at Iowa Watch was take a look at the story not from the perspective of prospective hirers and people who do job placements, but rather to talk to students and get their stories and tell it through that perspective. The best way to do that, we thought, was to have college student journalists on several Iowa college campuses ask graduating seniors how much debt they have and what are their prospects and plans for paying it off. We had students on six college campuses: Loras College, Drake University, Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, and William Penn University, asking students about this. And what we found was that about half of these students are concerned about their debt, half of them are not. And when you ask them why they're not worried about it, sometimes it's just because they think everything will work out fine. Don't get me wrong. There are those who aren't worried about their debt because they have plans to pay that off, and they've also gotten financial help. So we told that story from that unique perspective. It was a neat project because, one, we were able to produce some meaningful information that can serve as a guidepost for people who are in college, but also we were able to give college student journalists the experience of doing a meaningful project and writing something that has impact.
Okay, and we want to hear from some of those contributors this hour, but also we want to reach out to our listeners, to parents, to get another side of the equation. Students definitely involved in their students' higher education these days. Parents, do you worry about paying for your children's college education? Do you plan on footing the entire bill or a portion of it? We'd like to hear from you this hour. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org is our email. Also, recent graduates, perhaps burdened with debt, we'd like to hear from you. 1-866-780-9100. Has this changed your future prospects? Would you or could you have done it differently in hindsight? 1-866-780-9100. You can also find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook or tweet us at IPR Talk. Let's talk with Danielle Ferguson. Danielle Ferguson is a junior at Iowa State. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
You are an Iowa Watch contributor to this project. I've read your article. You focus on a young student, Emily Funk. Tell us about her and what you discovered.
Yes. Well, I actually kind of randomly came across Emily one day in a dining center, and she kind of agreed to tell me her story. And it turns out she won't be graduating with any debt because her father, who had passed away when she was a senior in high school, saved up a lot of money for her and her siblings to attend college.
Mm-hmm. So she was really is an outlier here. She's not your typical student. She, I think she says in the article, it's funny, she's really has money only for the basics because her, but has will graduate with no debt.
Yeah, it was kind of hard for her to explain to me, but she said that it was definitely different and that she's the only one she knows from her friend group graduating without debt.
So what about you, Danielle? Are you graduating with that?
Yes, I will be. I'm from out of state, so there's only so far scholarships and grants can get me. And I just don't have the money to pay for it all out of pocket right away, so I kind of just had to do it.
I don't know if you'd like to share this some, but does that worry you?
A little bit. Both my older stepsisters did it, so I just kind of assumed that's how you paid for college, and I didn't even really know any more information about it until I attended Iowa State and had to do the entrance counseling that we have to do if you take out a federal loan through the FAFSA.
Do you have, for instance, have you figured out approximately, given the job prospects in your field, what are you majoring in?
Journalism.
Given the prospects in your field, do you have an idea of how long you'll be paying off that student debt?
I haven't actually calculated that out yet, but I plan on using a tool I learned about while doing this project. It's called the, Financial Aid Counseling Tool, and it's found on studentloans.gov. Roberta Johnson, the financial counseling director, told me about it during our interview, and I think I'm going to go check that out here pretty soon to help me kind of figure out how I'm going to handle my debt.
Okay. Danielle Ferguson, stay with us. Also joining us in Des Moines, Heather Doe is with us, Associate Director of Marketing and Communication at Iowa College Student Aid Commission. Hi, Heather.
Good morning.
Good afternoon to
you.
We're just into the afternoon. Tell us about this. I threw out that number, almost $30,000 in debt for a bachelor's degree, the average Iowa student. How do students rack up so much debt? Because those of us who graduated perhaps decades ago may find that hard to believe.
That's true, and that's something that we talk with parents a lot. A lot of times we speak with parents who feel that their students should be able to either work their way through college or be able to borrow a little bit and that they don't need family contribution. However, unfortunately, over the last 20 years, the cost of college tuition and fees in Iowa has far outpaced the same increases in median household income and definitely way outpaced increases that the state has put into financial aid programs for students to help pay. So it's just simply not possible for students to work their way through college. And unfortunately, we've had some tough economic times in here as well, where families, maybe they always intended to be able to help more, but when it came down to it, they just financially could not. And that left a lot of students with no other option when they had unmet financial need to cover but to borrow student loans.
I think it's interesting what's already been raised is that students will go into debt. I'm wondering how much of this is not thinking through the implications because this is new on the horizon for students. It didn't used to be that way a generation or two ago.
We think that that's quite a bit. And so our agency has worked very hard in helping to provide more financial literacy types of things in the high schools. So to get students thinking about this earlier, to make smarter decisions about the amount they need to borrow, that what amount you may be awarded or eligible to borrow when you receive a financial aid award letter from your college or university doesn't mean that's the amount that you absolutely need to, that there are ways that you can cut back. You can cut back on your living expenses, try to borrow as little as possible. Do get a part-time job and assist that way. Anything that you can do to reduce the amount that you borrow is definitely going to help you out when you graduate.
Also joining us along with Heather Doe and Daniel Ferguson and Lyle Muller, Melanie Mackey is with us, a recent graduate of William Penn University, also a contributor in this project to the Iowa Watch. Melanie Mackey, welcome to our program.
Hi there.
Hi. You chose to focus on a student student named Jessica, who raced through college, what, in 3 years?
Yes. Jessica actually received her associate's degree before she graduated high school. She took a few college classes throughout her her high school career and transferred right into William Penn University and graduated very early. She's about 20 years old and has her bachelor's degree now.
Mm-hmm. Does that serve any purpose when we talk about indebtedness? Does that help her in terms of job prospects or less of a debt to carry along?
She definitely has a lot less debt to pay. But as far as job prospects go, she's definitely overwhelmed right now.
May I ask about your situation there? You were recently graduated from William Penn University. May I ask how the debt situation looks like for you?
Yeah, I'll be, I've just graduated with about $23,000 in debt. I graduated in 3 years, so I raced through it a little bit quickly, just like Jessica, only took me about a year longer to finish.
Mm-hmm. So you're very close to the average here. What concerns you about carrying that debt, or does it concern you?
Well, throughout college, I've carried a couple part-time jobs and been very, very busy with extracurricular activities as well. And it looks like I'll have to continue working a couple more jobs than I thought I would. I guess when I graduated, I told everyone I'm really looking forward to just having to having one big girl job to get me by. And now that I look at the debt, it looks like I'm going to have my big girl job and a couple other little things.
To pay for a big girl loan payment every month.
Yes.
Looking back, it's early days for you, and I'm sure things will turn out fine. But would you have done anything differently in financing college?
I know that we usually took out the maximum loan amount to help pay for rent and other things. And I guess I would have looked at those loans that we took out and thought about them in the long term at the time. At the time, I lived for now, and I lived for whatever I had to do that semester. And I thought I could live more comfortably if I took out more loans.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Heather Doe, does that sound familiar? A lot of the stories similar to that?
It does sound very familiar. And, you know, there's a lot of wonderful living opportunities on our college campuses now. And a lot of times the students want to have that best meal plan and those really awesome apartment-like student housing options, and not looking at what are maybe some of the more or less expensive options that will enable me to not have to borrow as much. So, yes, we see quite a bit of that.
1-866-780-9100, talking about indebtedness at this time of graduations. And let's go to Morgan. Morgan calling from Grimes. Hi, Morgan.
Hi.
Hi. Are you a graduate or are you a parent?
I'm a parent. Yep, I'm a parent. I have two little girls, 4 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, paying for college is a big issue for us. I mean, we're kind of weighed down already trying to save for our own retirement, but also knowing we don't want our kids to be saddled with this horrible debt after they graduate, because we've seen it firsthand and with friends. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we started 529s for both of our girls when they were born, and we put what we can into it. But even just looking at our statements every month, there's no way that we'll ever be able to cover all of their tuition down the line.
Are you or your husband carrying debt from college?
No, not anymore. We were fortunate enough to be able to pay it all off, and my husband went through on a baseball scholarship, so that was a fortunate thing for us. But, yeah, I mean, it's so common that it doesn't seem like a big deal to take that out, because
mm-hmm.
everybody else is doing it.
Heather Doe, what other advice can you give to parents? And here, Morgan's getting on board very early with the two young daughters, 1 and 4. What else would you say to parents with young children?
Well, definitely, I think she's already on the right track by starting 529 plans. So if families don't know about Iowa's 529 plan, College Savings Iowa enables families to start up accounts with as little as $20 a month. And I know, of having my own children, how tough it is when you maybe have daycare expenses already. But you can start out with a little early on. And when you get to the point where they're not in daycare, you can increase that. And get more put away. Anything that you put away is just going to eliminate a little bit more student loan debt that you have to borrow down the road. And what I do want to point out is not all debt is bad. Borrowing federal student loans, that's the best option out there if you need to borrow. And there are some really good repayment plans available to help young students that are based on income. So it's not going to be this overwhelming student loan payment if they use a repayment plan that's income-based, or they use the new pay-as-you-earn repayment plan that really helps out people just getting on their feet. What we do find with those who struggle the most are those who not only borrowed federal student loans but then borrowed private education loans on top of that, that don't have the same safeguards and repayment plan options.
Jeff is joining us from Ankeny. Jeff, good afternoon to you. How do you fit into this conversation? Are you a college student or a recent graduate?
I'm a parent of a recent graduate.
All right. What's your story?
The story is we had a participation level with our child, and it was an 80-20 participation level, so that child needed to understand those are his dollars as well. We participated in the 529 program. And
which part were you, 80 or 20?
We were the 80 birds.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear.
Yep. And Christmas gifts and other gifts went into the 529 program, and $50 a month throughout this child's lifetime did it. Iowa State was a wonderful opportunity. Today, children are graduating from Iowa schools with a lot of college credits. So my son got through a pretty rigorous engineering curriculum in 4 years, and we couldn't be happier. Now, here's my jab. Our elected officials can't seem to get a budget to balance, and so who can blame kids today for having $30,000 in debt on average if the people in Washington, D.C. that we elect to represent us can't figure it out?
Hmm. Interesting. So you really think it's a mindset that just needs to, you just need to buckle down and say, this is not the high life these 4 years. This is meant to get an education. And, you know, so what if you don't have the best meal plan?
I'm right there with you. And a part-time job, isn't that what every college kid needs?
Okay. Jeff in Ankeny, thank you for your perspective.
Right. Thank you.
1-866-780-9100. Let's continue on with our phones. Let's go to Veronica in Belmont. Hi, Veronica.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Tell us about your situation. Are you a parent or a graduate?
I am a parent and a grandparent, but we have 14 children.
14, did you say?
Yes, and all college educated, and this will surprise many people. We planned $10,000 for each child's four-year education in college.
Coming out of your pockets?
Yes. And also, they were expected to contribute. They worked through high school, part-time jobs, and in college. Things changed tremendously throughout the history of our children. And they all got through. The two youngest ones were the only two who had to take on student loans.
How did you manage that? Listening to this conversation.
I don't know.
Well, what? $30,000 on average, the graduates in Iowa.
And so when I heard that, it was just staggering to me to hear that these kids have a huge debt. How can they possibly face the world? I just can't imagine that. But
Heather Doe, react to what Veronica has said. 14 children, they contributed $10,000 to each. You have to have some means
more,
to do.
But,
yes,
but
you have to have certainly a lot of means
that.
To do that. But all graduating without debt.
I think that's amazing, and we don't hear about that all that often. And it's wonderful that you made funding your children's education a priority. And I think that's just
Absolutely.
Something that we need to get in the forefront of a lot of families, is it needs to be as much of a priority as anything else in your budget. And it is tough. And especially there are a lot of families out there who've gone through some layoffs or one parent being out of work for a while, and the economy is just turning around. And if now's the time where you've got kids going off to college, it's certainly tough. And that's kind of what we hear from a lot of families.
Veronica, thank you for your call. Great parenting, it sounds like, from Belmont.
Thank you, very pleasure.
An email from Sam in Farley. Sam writes, I am a 10-year veteran of the U.S. Navy. I attended the University of Dubuque for 2.5 years. I did not graduate, but owe with interest over $100,000. When I was younger, I didn't think much about my loans and allowed them to go into default. For many years, my wages were garnished, and I didn't make enough to change my situation. Every year, my federal tax refund went to the government. Now I've got a good job, earning over $20 an hour. Just started my 9-month path toward rehabilitation of my loans. Instead of taking 15% of my disposable income, I pay $690 each month, the lowest amount I'm allowed to pay for these months, and about 21% of my gross pay. Warn as many kids as you can about the trap of taking the full amount of loans available instead of only what you need. Sam in Farley, thank you for that. I'm sorry for that situation. Heather Doe, are there enough warnings going out to kids? Just say, think through these implications.
I think that we've really been doing that a lot more in the last few years, and especially with more schools really pushing financial literacy. That's something that's in the Iowa core now. It's a requirement. So high school students are doing more and learning more about how to manage their money as well as to know how to the options for financing higher education. So we're hoping that that's just something that's going to kind of stick with them a little bit more and that they'll have the know-how to make some smarter choices. But part of that, too, is it's a family conversation as well. And as one of the parents who just called and mentioned, it really is sometimes sitting down with your child, and as much as we don't want to not let our child do something that they're dreaming about, sometimes what they think might be their best college choice is just financially not the smartest option. Families need to sit down and take a good look at what financial aid packages different colleges can offer, what is going to fit best into their budget, and based on what that student is going to go into, take a look at what starting salaries are in those fields and what's going to be an appropriate amount of student loan debt that they can manage to pay back.
Let's try to squeeze in Justin listening in Ames before we go to break. Justin, hi.
Hi.
What's your story?
I'm going to sound like a nightmare to, I think, some of your guests and a lot of people out there, and I'm going to sound very familiar to a lot of my peers, but I'm a recent graduate. I graduated Iowa State in December, and I went to school for a degree that did not fit into my professional path. I am sitting on about $70,000 in debt, and I'm not afraid. My parents weren't able to prepare as well because I've three other sisters that already went to college, and I don't know. I'm using the tools that have been allotted to me by the companies that I've, mm-hmm. I've borrowed loans from. And
give us an idea of $70,000 in debt. What are your monthly payments looking like now?
Well, I'm about to get on like the IB income based repayment with Sallie Mae for my federal loans, so that will significantly reduce the amount that I'll have to dedicate to that for the first couple of years. But I do have loans from Iowa Student Loan because the federal loans didn't meet my requirement because my parents, despite our actual net income being pretty low, they fall into a higher bracket, so I didn't get as much assistance. And that'll be around $240 a month at least, mm-hmm. I think.
So this is definitely something that shapes your future. You have to consider that in pretty much everything you do, don't you?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like we're growing up right now, and even though they tell you to be financially responsible and think about these things, they still beat it into our heads that you have to go to college, that okay. There is no good path for you other than going to college and getting a degree.
Justin, thank you for your perspective from Ames. And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation of the cost of college, mm-hmm. indebtedness. Also, we're going to talk about study abroad, why more students are studying abroad, the implications this could have for those students and for the economy. I want to reach out and thank Danielle Ferguson and Melanie Mackey. Good luck with your futures. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. So good to have you with us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow, it's Friday. That means it's a News Buzz edition of River to River. Tomorrow on the program, a number of items, including, you'll have to find out what this is tomorrow. I won't explain it any further than I'll just say virtual reality for chickens. But also, on the newsy side of things, tomorrow on the program, we have scheduled a live conversation with Governor Terry Branstad. So you'll want to stay tuned tomorrow at this time for a News Buzz edition of River to River. Today we're talking about indebtedness and getting a college education. When they receive their bachelor's degree, the majority of Iowa graduates are in debt. On average, they owe nearly $30,000. So this hour, we've been talking about how that amount of debt is racked up, what in the times have changed since perhaps you went to college a decade or two ago or more. Is it a matter of necessity because of the lack of funding, the rise in tuition, or is it a matter of just living it up a little too much when you're on a college campus, not thinking through the implications when you're offered these loans? We want to finish up that conversation and then explore why more students are studying abroad as well. With us, Lyle Muller, Executive Director and editor at the Iowa Center for Public Affairs Journalism. He's with us, has been exploring these topics. And Heather Doe of the Iowa College Student Aid Commission. And let's go to a couple callers from our conversation on debt. Leah is with us in Sioux City. Hi, Leah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. What's your story when it comes to getting an education, a higher education, and debt?
Well, I graduated from Iowa 4 years ago, and my parents were unable to actually help me with financial aid at all. So they helped me fill out the FAFSA, and we took out, I would say, the minimum of it, a little bit more, but not a lot more. And then from there, I did have a couple part-time jobs. I did graduate within 4 years, even though I took some college classes in high school. And because of the job market, I was unable to get a job right out of school. So my parents' deal was if I went to school and couldn't find anything, their way of helping me in the long run is I can move back home. So I currently live at home for the past 4 years. And I graduated with about $55,000 in debt, and I've since, in the 4 years, paid off about $20,000 or $25,000.
Sounds like you're making great headway on that debt, Leah. Thank you for your perspective in Sioux City.
Welcome.
Gary in Swisher, what's your story?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing, Gary.
First, let me applaud the young lady who just spoke, because I respect that she seemed to have worked and she has paid off her debt, or is working to pay off her debt. I'm old enough that I went to school 40 years ago and graduated, but I prepared by saving money before I went to college. My parents helped relatively little throughout college, and I worked several jobs. And I'm afraid that having looked at what goes on in Iowa City and watched the students for years and heard these discussions, I get the feeling that many students simply don't prepare before they go to college, and then maybe they outspend what they have in resources while they're in college. That's kind of the sum of it. I'm afraid that maybe they expect too much to be given to them, and maybe that should be considered more strongly.
Okay, Gary in Swisher, let me ask you, Heather Doe, when we look at the two sides of this, overindulging during your college years and the changing of the times, how much have times changed when we talk about things just not being the way they were a couple decades ago?
Well, part of it is, of course, making some unsmart choices with your money. But as we talked a little bit before, times have changed considerably over the last 20 years. The increases in tuition and fees at our college and universities is way beyond median household income and the amount of appropriations that the state has put into aid. To kind of give you a little perspective on that, when we look at the increases at tuition and fees at our state's public universities over the last 20 years, they've quadrupled. It's increased 311% from 1990-91 to our 2012-13 academic year at our public universities. At our community colleges and at our private four-year colleges and universities, it's increased 200%. And the same time, median household income has only increased 87%, and the amount that we have appropriated in our state financial aid programs has increased 56%. So there's a big gap there, and it's a struggle for families. And when we've had this economic downturn thrown in here too, and families are just kind of getting back on their feet, there's a lot of things involved. And unfortunately, another factor that we're throwing in is Iowa's population as a whole, as far as our students going into college, are becoming needier and needier, and that's supposed to increase. Of all of the people in Iowa who filed a FAFSA last year, over half were eligible for federal Pell Grants, and over 38% had a zero expected family contribution.
So you see this trend of indebtedness continuing on into the future?
Yes, I do.
Lyle Muller, as we close this particular facet of our conversation, leave us with a thought about, well, we haven't really talked about what we're getting for all this money that we're spending on college.
There certainly is a value that comes out of college. And when you think about it in that sense, if you manage your debt, that debt can give you some value. It's all about managing the debt. The average weekly salary in 2013 for someone with a college degree in the United States was about $1,100. The average weekly salary for someone with just a high school degree was $650. So you get some kind of value. And here's why managing your debt can actually help you in the job market as well. One of the students from Drake University who was in this project that we did had no college debt, and so she thought she was well positioned to get a job right out of college at a lower salary than someone else might need. And she thought that was an advantage that made her competitive. She could walk into a job, get some experience, and then work her way up the ladder because she didn't have to be paid as much for that first job on account of not having any debt.
Mm. Interesting. Conversation that could continue. We want to dovetail this into the trend of more and more students studying abroad, the implications this can have for the students and for the economy. Joining Heather, Lyle, and I to do that. Autumn Tallman is an associate director at the University of Iowa Study Abroad Office. Autumn, welcome to our program.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
And also with us, Rachel Peterson is in Des Moines, a senior at Simpson College and a contributor to the Iowa Watch project here. Rachel, hi to you.
Hi, good afternoon.
Lyle, quickly tell us why you took to this topic, study abroad, this trend.
It came out of a project out of Simpson College journalism students. Rachel is one of those students, Kate Connor, Katie Buchholz, and Aaron Gerken, and they're in Professor Brian Steffen's class at Simpson, and they had to do a project. And what we wanted to do was have them do a project for Iowa Watch. So we brainstormed, and this was a topic that was high in the minds of these students, and it's also on the minds of other students as well, and that is you really need a good study abroad experience if you want to be competitive in an international global economy. And not it's, you know, maybe everyone doesn't have to go study overseas, and it seems to be a lot to say you have to. But it certainly gives you a leg up. The problem is when you get over there, all of a sudden you have costs that you didn't prepare for. The meals might cost more, and you can think that you've prepared for it, and your college or university can give you enough information, you think, to get by. But you get over there, and hidden costs come in.
I know Autumn has a number of tips for us to go through the basics. But, Rachel, what did you look at in your piece for Iowa Watch?
For my part specifically, I looked at how studying abroad can help you get a leg up in the job market. What I kind of tied in was Iowa debt is really high. I'm a graduating senior in December, and I have a large amount of debt, and that makes me nervous. And also, the job market isn't that great. And so I looked at if study abroad can help you get have a better chance of landing that first job.
Mm-hmm. Who did you talk to?
I talked to human relations managers at Kemen Industries based out of Des Moines and DuPont Pioneer based out of Des Moines. And these two companies, in between both of them, operate in over 90 countries worldwide. And they said that when they see a resume where people have international experience, automatically they know they have these skills of adaptability, flexibility, they're willing to ask questions, and they have an idea about cultural respect since they conduct so much international business. That's kind of a necessary thing to have if you're going into an industry that conducts internationally.
Rachel, we wanted to play a part of your interview here that you did with a Simpson College student. Who is this, Ryan Rolfe?
This is Ryan Rolfe, and he graduated in May.
Okay, let's listen to him talking about his experience studying a semester in London. He did this in the fall of 2013.
Well, America is this huge country, so you really don't – there's no reason to leave. But I personally, after studying abroad, I believe everybody should so that they can come back and recognize that, wow, we're not the only ones out there. We're not the only ones that we should be worrying about. We should be reading English newspapers and different European newspapers and different Russian newspapers and listening to world news and different things, because there's so much going on in the world that I think we forget because we've never been there and we never will go there, and we know that this is home for us, so why worry about anything that's not home?
Simpson College student Ryan Wolf in conversation with Rachel Peterson there. Autumn Tallman, I want to ask you, as Associate Director at the University of Iowa Study Abroad Office, do we see this correlation? Does study abroad enhance your resume, make you more marketable for a job?
Yes, I think definitely it can. When we work with students who are interested in study abroad, really the first step is to help the student define and articulate what their specific academic goals are for the experience abroad. And in that process, I think it really helps students prepare for then the follow-up piece to that, which is once you've returned from an experience abroad, how do you articulate that on your resume? Mm. If an employer is going to look at your resume and say, oh, you studied abroad, how are you then going to discuss your experience and convey in an interview that, yes, you did indeed gain certain skills, abilities, cross-cultural competencies or awareness, language skills, adaptability that an employer will, in fact, see as beneficial or even essential mm-hmm. to the job that you're being interviewed for.
To study abroad, the fact that it enhances or can enhance job prospects, mm-hmm. does that apply to certain fields more than others, certain majors more than others?
I think it has the potential to apply to a wide range of fields and disciplines. And, in fact, the experience of studying abroad can certainly help a student define and clarify their purpose, their career aspirations. I think that what a student is doing abroad can sometimes have very direct impacts on a specific discipline depending on their program choice also. So involving and engaging faculty in the decision-making process and defining what experiences might be most beneficial for certain career paths, that's an important part of the work that we do too.
Study abroad has increased in popularity among college students. By how much?
I don't know exactly how much it's increased lately, but I know that we're sending over 1,200 students abroad annually. So that's a significant number of undergraduates and graduate students who are going abroad.
Let's compare the average student that stays at home or stays on the campus with one that goes abroad for a semester or something like that. Is that semester abroad going to make that college education more expensive, generally speaking?
Typically, we're telling students that if they're planning for study abroad, they should expect that it might increase the cost of attendance for the time that they're going. That's not always true, and there's a really wide range of cost variation. So if we begin the process by looking at the goals, the academic goals and the career aspirations of the student, then we can advise on a range of program options. We can talk about basically a cost-benefit analysis. What are you hoping to accomplish? What is the cost range that we're looking at, and what's the best choice for you?
Mm-hmm. I can imagine you might have some conversation where a student wants to go to, I don't know, Spain, Portugal, Italy, or whatever, and then you say, well, what are your goals? You ask the questions that you've just been asking, and you come to the conclusion it doesn't make much sense, then you tell that student that.
We absolutely tell the student that. We tell the student that, and we send them back to the drawing board. We want students to do a good job of defining their purpose, and we want to steer them in a direction that's going to make the expense worth their time. Mm-hmm. And if cost is a significant factor, then we're also going to be looking at what can be done to help prepare a student to be eligible for some of the programming that is the least expensive that will meet their needs.
Heather Doe, you've been listening to this conversation. Heather Doe of the Iowa College Student Aid Commission. What is your perspective on study abroad to the extent that students need, it seems, a bit extra money to do this?
Well, I think definitely along what we've already talked about, if it is something that's going to enhance their marketability in the job market, we definitely put that out there for students to consider, along with telling them that they can't really get through college without work experience, internship experience, volunteer, anything that they can do to stand out in the marketplace so that they're able to get a job after they graduate that enables them to pay back their student loan debt, we certainly encourage.
Mm-hmm. Autumn Tallman, tell us a little bit about your experience. You studied abroad, didn't you?
I did study abroad twice, many, many years ago, in fact, decades ago. The first time I studied abroad, I went to Israel as a high school student, and I studied during a summer program that focused on Judaic history and archaeology. And most of the students that I studied with were coming from various countries who were part of the Jewish diaspora and interested in coming and learning about their heritage in Israel. And interestingly enough, I was in a dorm with many students coming from Argentina, so I learned a bit of Spanish while I was there. And then that inspired my second study abroad experience as an undergraduate when I went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Before you took that leap to go, say, to Mexico, what were your biggest concerns? Do you Can you take yourself back to that mindset?
You know, I was an undergraduate at the University of Arizona, so Mexico to me was 45 minutes away. And in one of my undergraduate political science courses, I was working with a professor looking at water resources issues in the border area. In other words, how do two city governments in two different countries collaborate on issues of water management? So I had had a taste of Mexico. Political science was one of my majors. Spanish was the other. So I felt fairly prepared when I decided to study abroad. I wanted to go to a destination further in and away from the border area. And so I think in some ways I was prepared for it before I went, but I also was very surprised because I thought that I knew a whole lot more than I learned that I actually did. And even in terms of language preparation, it caught me off guard that there was a lot of slang being used that I wasn't familiar with.
Because that is a big question. It must be, Autumn, when you at the University of Iowa Study Abroad office, is you have a big decision. Do you want to go to a country that has language, the English language as a working language, or do you feel able? And that's a big gap between the two,
right?
Isn't it? You have to know if you can do that, right?
Yes. And I think students are often surprised to learn that we have many programs available in destinations where English really is not required to have a very successful experience there. India, South Africa would be two examples of English-speaking places that offer English-speaking programs that students can take advantage of. But language skills are certainly something that increasingly multinational corporations or NGOs who have an international focus really value.
Rachel Peterson, I understand you studied abroad. You mentioned in Australia for a couple of years. Can you imagine you're a senior now at Simpson College? Can you imagine yourself? What kind of person would you be? How would you be different without those 2 years in Australia?
Well, I took a really unconventional path through college. When I went to Australia, it was on my own accord. I applied for a university there on my own accord. I didn't go through a study abroad program. So at the young age of 18, I was kind of thrown to the wolves and figured it out myself. And, you know, I just look back and think, I'm so independent now, and any challenge that comes my way, I think, you know, I moved to a different continent at a young age and figured it out. I can do this. I just think that I have that self-confidence and I have that ability to interact with different kind of people, and I have that idea of respecting people.
Rachel, where do you see yourself after you graduate from Simpson College?
Well, I have been lucky enough that an internship that I landed this past semester led to a full-time job, and I actually graduate in December, so I'm really excited to have a job 8 months before I graduate.
That is wonderful. Can you tell us what that job is? Where are you be based?
Yes, I'm employed by F&W Media, and I will be based in Winterset, Iowa for now. There's a big quilting publication that is out of Winterset, Iowa. Fawns and Porter, Love of Quilting, and I will be working for them.
Okay. We wish you all the best,
Rachel
Peterson. Lyle Muller, as we end this hour, we've got about a minute or so left. Do you have any loose ends to tie up in either the indebtedness question or the study abroad question?
The big thing is if you're going to study abroad, you need to really think about the cost that will go into that, because you're only going to get this shot once or maybe twice in your lifetime at this particular point in your career and your study. So really be aware of the costs that are going on there, because then it can be rewarding and you can come back here and, again, have some value out of that.
Mm-hmm. Autumn Tallman, what other words of wisdom do you have for prospective study abroad students? And their parents, I guess, are in on this conversation too, aren't they? Because we are dealing with 19, 20-year-olds, and we know now from brain science that actually, brains do not mature until they're in their early 20s,
mm-hmm.
aren't they? Right?
Right.
So we have to really think about long-term implications.
Well, I do think that it's really important for students and involved parents to plan well in advance. One of the kind of side benefits of planning for study abroad is that it really does require a student to map out their four-year plan. So it doesn't have the effect of delaying graduation. It does, in fact, encourage students to think carefully about how study abroad is integrated into their academic plan. And students also are able to make use of their financial aid scholarships, grants, loans. For the most part, those can be taken with a student wherever they're going to study.
You said some thousand students at the University of Iowa studying abroad in any given year. Do you see those numbers growing?
I see the potential for those numbers to grow, and I think that overall, nationally, we're seeing a trend that there's increasing interest in study abroad and engagement.
Autumn Talman is Associate Director at the University of Iowa Study Abroad Office. Autumn, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
Rachel Peterson, thank you again for joining us as a contributor.
Thank you.
Contributor to iowawatch.org. Author also Heather Doe, who's been with us since the beginning of the program at the Iowa College Student Aid Commission. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
And, of course, thanks to Lyle Moeller for returning to our studio to help us with a couple of topics that iowawatch.org, the Iowa Center for Public Affairs Journalism, has focused on. Quickly, can you tell us what's next? What are you looking at now?
We've just posted a story about young women who tan indoors in Iowa, even though they know the risk of doing it excessively.
Okay. You can check that out at iowawatch.org, I assume, Lyle.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Thanks to our producers, Emily Woodbury and Lindsay Moon, along with John Pemble in Des Moines. Catherine Perkins, our executive producer. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.